Put aside the ego and embrace the moment.
That's not the moment that you're embracing right now.
Oh, dear.
Regardless, it's time for another midweek drive.
Well, one thing about the midweek drive is we always like to ensure that technology can be used to actually assist in oh so many delightful ways. And the Lincoln Performing Arts Center at the University of Lincoln obviously is equally wedded to the joys of using technology to get through this time. And the dates 16th of December to Thursday 24th of December, particularly special because that's when a distant Christmas will be taking place in a manner of wonderful activities throughout Lincoln. December 1918, Kitty Hall grieving the death of her sweetheart. Who better to speak to about this fabulous event that's taking place than indeed two fabulous folk. First of all, Eloise Cubbin. How are you, Eloise?
I'm good, thanks.
Excellent. And we've also got from the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre, the creator extraordinaire, the guru of genius, etc. It's Craig Morrow. How are you, Craig?
I'm very well, thank you. That's a nice introduction.
Well, Craig, how many years have we worked together? I mean, normally it's about this time where we have our usual annual Happy Christmas, Craig. We're having a thing, a festive thing. Then we'll set into the auditorium, etc. I mean, Craig, if we can actually turn to you first, because clearly the last 8-9 months, etc., have been very different. I look at, obviously, the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre website, and it's a short interval. But this is a tremendous opportunity to actually really engage with something which, as human beings, we need, live performances.
Well, absolutely. And we had planned to do live performances and up until yesterday when Tier 3 was announced, which obviously prevents any theatre to take place in an area that's got those restrictions, which affects Lincoln. And so it affects our plans a little bit. But A Distant Christmas was designed to be adapted should we be in a lockdown or in a position like we are where we can't actually have live performance. So it was about how to take a digital performance and make it feel more special than just a YouTube video. And so we're using that through mixed reality performances, so where we've recorded performances, but we're placing them in a real world context, which will hopefully capture a little bit of what you'd normally get with that interaction with a live performance.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, I love that sort of notion of a promenade event, which, I mean, the few times I've experienced promenade theatre, it really is quite special. And of course, as long as it's socially distanced, it should even in Tier 3 be fairly safe.
I mean, it will be absolutely safe, but because obviously there's no set live performance now, anyone will be able to do it whenever they want. So they'll be able to buy a ticket for the app, which will be slightly cheaper than before because there's no live performance, so our overheads are slightly reduced. And they'll be able to go out into the city of Lincoln and follow the story of Kitty throughout the city, starting in St. Benedict's Square and then ending up in a mystery location.
And I'm particularly intrigued by the fact that Kitty's descendant is called Alex. No, it's not me, honestly. I'm a step away from that completely. But let's talk us through the whole thing. And Eloise, would you like to just share with us the tale of what A Distant Christmas is all about?
Yeah, so you hear about this story through Kitty's descendants. And all that we know at the beginning is that Kitty has a loved one who is headed off to war. And has sadly received bad news that he has died in the war, but he is then later seen in Lincoln traveling around. So you follow Kitty and her friends through the city to try and find out the tale and see what actually happened to George.
I just have this notion for a moment that people going through Lincoln saying, here, Kitty, Kitty, here, Kitty, Kitty. No, it's not like that. It's not going to happen. No, Craig is quite rightly frowning beneath his mask on that particular side of things. As I say, the interaction is something which we've talked about for a long time, really, but this in any ways has been accelerated, I suspect, by the technology. And Craig, you mentioned obviously YouTube videos, TikTok videos, the whole things are out there. This is a wonderful way in which you're really getting an interface between technology and the arts.
Absolutely, and obviously we wanted to have a live guide who would have kind of helped serve a bridge between the digital and the real world. But it's designed in such a way that you're kind of a third person in the adventure, and you're following the characters throughout the city and trying to unpiece this mystery and trying to solve it together. So yes, it's not as interactive as we'd hoped initially due to the wonderful coronavirus, but we're adaptable and we're changing, and it was always built in to be a fun, interesting family mystery.
I love the way you actually embrace the coronavirus from that point of view in terms of wonderful, great. I think we have to. It's the way forward. A unique experience, of course, that places participants at the heart of a family mystery with, of course, mobile AR technology creating a Christmas event unlike any other. I mean, Eloise, from your own perspective, is this totally new for you? Have you ever experienced anything like this before? Is it a case of, that's what I signed up to Lincoln to do in their drama course, virtual events?
Well, this is completely new. I think everyone in the cast has never really worked much with filming, and especially not with green screens. So it's a new experience for all of us, and we've definitely developed skills that we can take on further. It was a bit of a shock when we first found out, you know, we won't be able to do a big live stage performance as usual, but I think we've all thoroughly enjoyed it, and it's something that we're definitely going to remember for a long time.
Well, that, of course, is it, because the students and staff, of course, at the Performing Arts Centre have obviously put on this annual fantastic epic each year, whether it's been Peter Pan, whether it's been Lion, the Witch in the Wardrobe, any of those sort of sequences there. And I think clearly it is one of those areas that we will miss it. But I mean, Craig, if you're having, turn to your good self, actually, Lincoln Performing Arts Centre, obviously, thankfully, is in a fortunate position of being able to actually ride this out. There are a number of our colleagues and friends in the arts industry in terms of theatre that are having an awful lot of more difficult, challenging times.
I mean, absolutely. I mean, we're very, very lucky, and it's a testament to the University of Lincoln that they've continued to fund us during these difficult times. And obviously, we've received funding from the DCMS through the Cultural Recovery Fund as well. But without that support, we wouldn't be here. And it's only because we had a slightly more solid foundation, unlike our colleagues at the Drill Hall, who sadly they've all lost their jobs and they've had to close. It's a very, very precarious time for live theatre, and Christmas is normally the time when people make the money that pays for the rest of the year. So it's a big drain on resources, and we'll feel that impact, but others will feel it far worse as well.
Yeah, no, it's certainly something which I think has made people acknowledge that. And those of us who obviously over the last semester have actually been engaging in blended learning, where I've been trotting in quite happily on a Tuesday to do a face-to-visor, face-to-mask contact with students. And then obviously the rest of the time, a bit like we're doing now, online. And nothing else, I got more used to Microsoft Teams, Blackboard Collaborate, and various other bits and pieces. Eloise, how have you found your work as a student? How's that been sort of evolving and changing over this blended year learning semester?
It's been tricky in some ways, but especially the School of Fine and Performing Arts have just been absolutely incredible. They've been doing their uttermost to make it safe but also enjoyable, and we're still getting the exact same learning that we would be even without the whole coronavirus, and we're still working, we're still struggling through, and it feels like a sort of a family working through it together, and there's always the support there whenever you need it.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, my annual lecture on voice production went out to journalists yesterday, but via video, which is curious on that sort of basis. So A Distant Christmas, of course, it is a unique experience. It's roughly about 80 minutes long, 1 hour, 20 minutes from that point of view. How can people access details and actually take part with their mobile devices in the streets of Lincoln from, of course, the 16th of December? What's the way forward, Craig?
If you go to our website, lpac.co.uk, and go to the What's On section, you'll find the links to A Distant Christmas there. And because it's not a live performance, we're actually hoping to extend the run. So we might start a couple of days later. We're just sorting it out at the moment, but we'll be running into the new year as well. So people will be able to do it even more.
It's worth mentioning, of course, A Distant Christmas being the Christmas show, or Christmas virtual show from that point of view, because I know, Craig, you don't like me mentioning the P word, and I won't, because it's...
I love a panto, but it's not what we're doing. So it would be dangerous to suggest that it is.
Exactly. Quite rightly so. Eloise, very briefly, just share with us some of the rest of the cast who've been involved with this. I think obviously you're a key part of the whole thing, but what about the rest of the team? I think we need to have some due acknowledgements given.
Well, I've actually got the whole team with me.
Whoa, they are there. The camera's been turned around and they're waving and they're socially distanced. Hey. So let's take it in order then. Who's actually sort of around with respect to this lineup?
So do you want to start? We've got our Kitty Hall at the back.
Oh, this is, okay. Well, Kitty Poole waving there from that point of view, which is wonderful. That's great. Kitty's not playing Kitty, is she?
No, her name is Grace Day, playing Kitty Hall.
That's okay. Excellent. Cheers, Grace. Okay.
We've got Jamie Bell, who's playing multi-rolling.
I mean, I've got to mention it. Surely no relationship, no relation to our very own Billy Elliot's Jamie Bell up in Teesside here. No, that's all right. Just want to clarify that. It's good.
But and then? Scott, who's also multi-rolling. Lucy Porter, who is playing our wonderful Maud. We've got Mikey Helen, who's also multi-rolling. We've got Ethan Peck, who's playing George. And then over on Zoom, because technology, this is Jennifer Verdon. She is playing Doris. And then myself, Eloise Coven, I'm playing Lizzie.
Fantastic. I've got to say, Jennifer, even though she's actually on Zoom, so to speak, it's almost like going through that, she's wearing a wonderful, it's not a duffel coat, it's a wonderful sort of Christmas coat, sort of wrap that she's actually there. It's amazing. It was obviously, I mean, I thought your mask was particularly stylish, Eloise, in terms of the way forward. It's good to see that the mask is there. When you've been filming this, again, clearly, you've presumably had to be socially distanced throughout the whole system. So what have the challenges been of, as you said, green screen filming and work within that?
It has been challenging. We've got a few blog posts actually on the LPAC website and some videos where you can see and hear our experiences firsthand. It's been a struggle, but we've managed it with massive help from Craig, always sort of keeping our optimism up, keeping us going. It's been tough, but it's been very enjoyable. It's a wonderful, wonderful show.
Yeah. Well, these are the memories which you look back on and say, we are part of that socially distanced generation for a distant Christmas, which is, of course, coming through from that basis. And just final question, in terms of the actual piece itself, when it has actually sort of wrapped, you mentioned it might be extended. Will there be a kind of record of the event kept? And because I often said the fabulous things about Christmas shows are they're great, but sometimes I think, oh, it'd be really nice to look back at them. Will there be any kind of memento for people for this one, Craig?
Well, because it's digital, we probably will turn it into some sort of film because we've got the raw footage, but we haven't quite decided how we're going to do that yet, but there will be a memento, certainly for the cast at least.
Fantastic. Craig Morrow, Artistic Director of the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre, and of course, Eloise Gubbin, who's been producing. I mean, Eloise, your particular role with respect to this is what? Because we just haven't clarified. What is your role within the whole thing as opposed to the person who holds the Zoom connection?
So I am obviously playing Lizzie, so I'm part of the cast, but I'm also the marketing director for this production.
Well, certainly actually marketing in terms of this particular area is a bit of a challenge, but we've managed it today, which is fantastic. And I'll throw you those last two questions. I'll just put it to yourself, Eloise, at this particular stage. You can answer on behalf of the cast, basically. So no pressure, but I'm sure you'll cope. Have you had a reasonably interesting Zoomer with us on the Midweek Drive today?
It's been wonderful. Thank you so much, Alex.
Excellent. Well, the next critical question is, I normally say, will you come back to the studio? Well, that's pointless for the next few months anyway, but we'll have to wait and see. We're just over the bridge. But will you return in the not too distant future, either via Zoom or indeed in person, to the Siren Radio base?
Absolutely. Hopefully we'll have another production for you that we can advertise out.
There you are. Eloise Cabin, Craig Morrow, and the whole cast of A Distant Christmas. Again, go to the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre website. That's lpac.co.uk. You'll find all the details on there. Huge thanks and stay safe.
Another good morning, babe. In a text, on a day I should be waking up, you're it on my chest.
There'll be no running down the stairs, no breakfast with mom and dad, no whiskey burn, they say, and just like our tradition says.
If I could be on that plane, you know I would.
Cause I wanna hold you neath that New York skyline, stare into those big blue eyes and
celebrate another year. Oh, how time flies in a year that's been full of war. Holding out for family and holding out to hope. There's just one thing I want you to know.
I won't forget to miss you underneath the mistletoe. I gotta be near you, I gotta touch your face, and the fact that I just can't is a feeling I just can't take.
All those lists we made, all those presents I planned to take,
but put a bow on you, and you'd have a mob beat any day.
I wanna hold you neath the New York skyline, stare into those big blue eyes and
celebrate another year. Oh, how time flies in a year that's been full of woe.
Holding out for family and holding on to hope. There's just one thing I want you to know.
I won't forget to miss you underneath the mistletoe. I need to kiss you more than you'll ever know.
Keep you warm as the days grow cold.
Town's just ain't a home.
Stare into those big blue eyes and celebrate another year. Oh, how time flies.
Well, there we are. What a perfect way to actually follow our coverage of this year's Lincoln Performing Arts Centre Christmas, a distant Christmas, which you can attend if you're in Lincoln. Tier 3, it's outside. It's go out and about, follow all the paths, watch the videos, and enjoy the show. Don't forget to sign up your tickets now and support the arts, and obviously have a fantastic time. And maybe you might actually get to New York and you might actually kiss somebody under the mistletoe, even though that's definitely socially not happening this year. Kissing somebody under the mistletoe, oh, it's so last century, Tessa. Honestly, is this the best you could do for your Christmas track? But I'm not going to let that go because, you know, we've got Robin Pierce with us, and it is, as we've just heard, and I'll play it again. I'll press this button now.
Country in the Kitchen and Tessa's Tune of the Week. Essential steps in the evolution of audio entertainment, now live on Siren Radio.
Country in the Kitchen and Tessa. Country in the Kitchen and her Tune of the Week.
Country in the Kitchen, Country in the Kitchen, etc., etc. Thank you, Lindy Hollyman. Okay, Tessa, welcome to your part of the segment. You've got Robin Pierce, obviously, with you. So let battle commence. Do you want to go?
Hello?
I mean, do you want to back announce what we've just been listening to in terms of "I'll Not Forget to Miss You"?
Yeah. So this is a project called Together Country that a fellow podcast host called Dom Crook. He runs Country Chat with Dom and Rachel Selick, who is an artist management for Scarlet River. They teamed up together to create this single along with 8 unsigned country artists in aid of Mind Charity. And of course, you know, we've been in lockdown for a long time. This is the second one, and a lot of people have struggled this year. So they just wanted to do something to contribute to that. And they've both had their battles as well. But yeah, this is the first, you know, Christmas festive play on Siren Radio and for Southside Broadcasting. And okay, yes, it's your typical kind of Christmassy tune, but I think the message is quite strong and sweet. And it is really about missing loved ones this Christmas, because a lot of people might not be able to see different family members due to different restrictions in the country. But it's also about finding hope. So I think it's a lovely, lovely song. And hopefully it just brings everyone together and makes them feel less alone. I don't know, Robin, what your thoughts are on the track.
Well, before we go there, because I know we might be joined by our other wonderful Cleethorpes correspondent and indeed school teacher these days. That's Chloe Rose, who said she thought it was great. She wants to be part of the whole thing. So I'm just putting Chloe's thoughts there. She thoroughly enjoyed it. She's also heard it. It has to be pointed out that our previous Christmas song. Of course, Christmas Bubble, the official Sleaford Christmas song, has now actually been fully plugged by BBC Lincolnshire, and indeed all over the country, various people are actually plugging Christmas Bubble. I know that was something Robin was very keen to address for that. I just feel as though, once again, they've become popular now, so we're going to ignore them. You know, it's a bit like when Genesis became popular. You're too young to remember Genesis, but you just think, they're just not the same. Just forget it. You know, move on. We want the next sort of undecided thing. It's like sort of fandom. If it becomes popular, we're not interested anymore. But that may not be the case with respect to Robin in terms of opening the sequence now, as Chloe actually is literally just stepping into our virtual space at this very moment in time. So, you know, here she is in person. Everything's coordinated. She was with us sort of recently. She's back again, not feeling too stressed out about the teaching, but I don't know. It's a tough call. I mean, honestly, you know, Chloe in charge of you. You don't want to sort of, she'll be, in the words of our North Carolina correspondent, I bet she'll be using the traditional greetings of finger shooting and actually sort of greeting people by sort of, you know, the pistol fingers. She's great. Oh, obviously, Killy, because Chloe would not believe in actually taking guns into the classroom. Mind you. Chloe, we're talking about Tessa's tune of the week. You have heard it before. Robin, actually, I mean, I think Robin's going to destroy it, to be honest. So that's why I'm holding back on this, you know, because I think it's like everything. It's like everything that he hates about country music, where you just think, oh, it's like every single button has been pushed there. I could be wrong. But Chloe, what did you make of this little particular number, I Won't Forget to Miss You?
I thought it was beautiful, Alex. I really enjoyed it. I thought it's a great tune. It's a tune of the week, isn't it? It's a great tune of the week song to choose. So Tessa did a great job, as always, of doing that. So I lovely. I listened to it a few times, actually. So there you go. I must have enjoyed it.
I think it's the point of the song, really, that comes across, and what it's for and what it means, really, and what it stands for.
Yeah, but you won't forget to miss somebody under the mistletoe, which is technically employing a double negative, so it's grammatically dodgy to start off with. But, you know, let me go on that side of things. I mean, Chloe, you've heard it so often now, presumably you could lead us in a chorus of don't forget to miss you under the mistletoe. Perhaps not. Okay, the time has come. Let's find out whether he's going to actually, you know, go on this. I mean, because it's been quite a good record so far, Tessa. I mean, you know, tunes have been getting, you know, some positive thumbs up from that point of view. But at the end of the day, it's the view of the principality, as Katie Boyle used to say. You don't know who Katie Boyle is, do you? She used to host the Eurovision Song Contest. The view for the principality. And let's find out what our jury in North Wales has got to say about your choice for Tune of the Week. And as we've said before, and as Chloe will echo, there can be only one. It's like a Highlander thing. There can be only one. Robin.
There can only be one.
Well, I've deliberately kept quiet on this and kept my face completely impassive on screen. And I'm really enjoying the kind of nervous look that's on Tessa's face right now.
It's not giving anything away.
No, absolutely not. As the song started, I thought, oh, you know what? This is like a remake of By the Time I Get to Phoenix by Glen Campbell. A song I like, okay? Definitely had that vibe to the start. But then it kind of picked up. And it was a really nice duet. Now, Christmas songs, as Alex will attest, are very much hit and miss for me.
There won't be snow in Africa this Christmas.
Please don't.
Feed the world. Let them know it's Christmas time.
I could put this right in my ear and drive it through.
Do you know what, Robin? I think us as a team, we should sing a Christmas song together. We should record, write our own siren, midweek drive, jingle.
You have no idea how feeble a singing voice I have.
Hey, look at Paul.
Come on, let's face it. I can barely string together a coherent sentence on the radio. Come on.
You could be the lower key and you could kind of talk a bit like Johnny Cash. You could talk.
Oh, can I do like a rap?
Or a rap?
Christmas rapping.
Yeah.
Way.
Yeah.
Anyhow. So, you know, I tend to be hit and miss with Chris. I love Christmas, don't like Christmas songs. And, you know, country music, really? You're throwing a country music Christmas,
country Christmas.
My way. It's ridiculous. Nobody should be doing it. So the odds are heavily stacked against it. However, it surpassed all that. And there's something intangible that I can't put my finger on that I really liked about it. It really appealed to me. And I hope you've all got like arms on your seats and that you're buckled in, because along with Christmas Bubble, I like this and I would give it a 9 out of 10.
Wow.
This is apparently the year of Christmas songs that I like, apparently. Who knew?
Robin.
Yeah.
Well, what can I say? Genuine
shock resonates throughout the entire team from that point of view.
I did not change a single word of actually what I had written when I was listening to the song. So, you know.
And you can see that because it's a fair point to say that Robin Pierce's notes for the Midweek Drive will be available for purchase with a certificate of authentication via eBay at the very best, really. So get your bids in now, basically. That's that.
If I sign it, it just decreases in value.
You should do that, Robin. A lot of artists sell their lyric sheets.
Every little penny helps, Robin. You know, it's a way.
Well, it does indeed. Yes, helps the pension. Wow.
Well, I am 9 out of 10. That is a lovely, lovely score. And of course, I mean, all these artists are unsigned, and the production, you know, it's all independent, all produced remotely. So I think they've done a good job on the resources that they had at the time. Yeah. And they do. I think they really wanted it to be really successful, a lot like Bob.
The sum is definitely greater than the parts, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. They've done a good job with what...
Great work on that one.
Well, there we are. And I suppose, of course, Tessa, now we're kind of into December, you'll be actually sort of launching us with no end of Christmas-themed scenarios.
Well, I might do. I mean, I have had an influx of emails with the Christmas songs and EPs coming out, but I will select them carefully. And we'll see. I'm not going to give anything away.
Every time you think you know the answer, I'll change the question.
Robin's always on it.
Question bait. Shock and awe.
And Chloe, from your own perspective, ever considered doing a Christmas song? Is it a case of no, I don't believe in that at all?
I would love to. But as Robin said, it's sort of a hit and miss thing. If you get it right, amazing. If you get it wrong, oh, it's curtains. It's never good. So, you know, maybe one day.
What about a cover? Would you do a cover of a classic Christmas song?
Yes.
Not Santa Band-Aid. Baby. Do not do Band-Aid.
It's got to be
Santa Baby. Oh, Santa Baby.
Oh, well, okay. I like that one.
Yeah, that's my favourite one.
Well, there we go.
There we go.
Tessa, we'll throw it over to yourself. Basically, you've got a few moments to actually throw any questions you wish to Robin or indeed Chloe before, of course, we head off to a whole new topic in which Robin actually gets a chance to congratulate Will Mellor on the fact that he knows a man in a pub called Horse.
Oh, that's a different story.
Don't ask why. It got into very dangerous territory. You can hear the actual interview after this little piece today.
Well, I'm going to go to Chloe because we haven't caught up in a while, and I know you've started your teacher training. How is it all going? How are you coping under, you know, the restrictions that we've got at the moment?
Yeah, it's going amazing. It's strange. It's because obviously used to doing singing and acting, and then having to actually teach a class, it's a totally different thing. But yeah, we have to wear visors and masks in lesson, and it's difficult. I was telling Alex about this a week or two ago. I can't remember what it was now. And it's the kids when they get quite close to you, you've got to tell them, oh, can you just step away to a meter? And
Chloe, contact the law, get the police in, get the army in, social exclusion, stay away. If they don't listen to the line, are you trying to kill me, you little oik? Then basically just, you know, you've got to arrest them and round them up. That's all. Yeah.
Exactly.
And on that point of being arrested, I can see that obviously from our notes here, Robin is also keen to share with us his review of a particular program in our oeuvre of podcasts of the week. So it's over to you, Robin. And I don't know, Tessa, why he never actually reviews Country in the Kitchen podcasts, frankly. I mean, I'm amazed. He seems to sort of stick very much with the midweek drive, but that's okay. We don't mind.
I know, I've not done my homework either. I've not done my episode.
No, you don't listen to any of them, basically, Tessa. You didn't even know you had your new jingle until we actually worked through that. So it's probably understandable. Anyway.
Once again, having done my homework, I find myself thrown under the bus. Once again, let's sacrifice Robin.
It's a trolley bus. And you know from our line with Richard Fitzwilliams that I'm obviously perceived as a Machiavellian kind of coordinator. It's not true at all, yeah. Really.
He called you the ringleader, ringmaster. Yeah. And this is something that I've been calling you on air for a few months now.
Well, yeah, but Richard's just catching up, you see. He's a historian. What the hey?
I listened to the show, and now due to the vagaries of wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey stuff, I was going to review the show of the 26th of November, until I told Alex during a private conversation, right, I'm doing the 26th, and he said, "Whoa, that's the 28th. The 28th hadn't even been yet." Oh, he's a hard guy to keep up with.
But having said that, Chloe, if you want to pay attention to this, you will be able to actually check this out at your leisure, should you choose.
Very good.
Today?
Options.
So I may be reviewing something that hasn't happened yet and may happen in the future. I don't know. If anything I say now, it will change anything. I don't know.
If it helps, if you're listening to this...
Congratulations,
live,
Alex.
If you're listening to this on live on Siren Radio, I will point out the fact that actually it is officially December the 2nd. Okay? Any other time, were you listening to it in a different sort of format? So for Siren Radio listeners, happy Wednesday, December the 2nd. Thank you, Robin.
Robin's I can't see you for the muddy waters. Anyway, congratulations, Alex, on 200,000 downloads. 200,000. What an achievement.
That's amazing.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
It comes compared to Lady Gaga, it's small fry, though, you know, and I feel, obviously, having compared myself regularly to Lady Gaga, including looking for some bacon, never been the same since. What the heck?
There are 200,000 people who have downloaded and listened to you on purpose, and some of these people have come back for more. Congratulations.
Yeah. Well, only 7 billion on the planet, Robin. So
everybody.
7 billion on the planet. We're working our best. The Chinese are trying to explore the moon, so all's well with the world.
I think it's made out of cheese. Anyway, Anna Lewis and Yasmin DeGraff with the Tier 3 Blues. Well, don't we all have blues of some kind or another? In Wales, we don't even know what's happening to us because our First Minister, Mark Dripfeed, told us on Friday that we'll be told on Monday what's going to be happening to us in the run-up to Christmas.
And you criticise my temporal questions?
Exactly. Ever since retiring from day-to-day work, I've just lost all track of time. I wake up, it may be daylight, it may not. I'll just stay around for a few hours and then go back to bed. but several things in this particular broadcast really intrigued me. And I think it was Anna Lewis talking about a historical project that she's involved with in Isleworth, where a plague pit has been discovered, where presumably they threw the bodies of people who succumbed to the plague. And there are 76 corpses there, or remains, and they're trying to name all those people all those 76 people. And it just blew my mind. I mean, what an incredible project. I mean, I'd be interested to know how that project comes along. So I'm hoping she'll come back and do some updates. And I'm intrigued as to how they would actually name and identify the people who have been interred there and do it with a degree of accuracy. So I have no idea where they would even start, but it's something that I would like to find more about. Yasmin, of course, a student from Bermuda, was talking about the Bermudan flag. And as she was talking, it occurred to me I had no idea what the Bermudan flag looked like. I'd never seen of it. I'd never even thought about it. So I Googled it to take a look, and I saw the shipwreck motif that she was talking about as she was talking about it. And I just found it fascinating. And I found it fascinating also to hear Yaz talk about the Bermuda Triangle. I mean, so much that we hear about the Bermuda Triangle is, you know, speculation from American people or, you know, science fiction writers, fantasy writers, TV writers, but not
actually... Can I just test that, Robin? Just totally sort of cultural thing here. Chloe, have you ever heard of the Bermuda Triangle?
Yes.
Excellent. Tessa,
that's it. Triangle? I've heard of it.
I have, definitely. It's
that's
scary.
Fine. They're on the page. Man Alive,
Bermuda Triangle. Love the song.
Classic, Tessa. Well done. Even I couldn't have topped that one, you know, Bermuda Triangle.
I'm just thinking of taking 4 points away from Tessa's tune now.
I have heard of the Bermuda Triangle, though. Where everyone disappears.
That's the one. Now you're just quoting...
Bermuda Triangle. Bermuda Triangle.
You've wound him up. I won't be able to do a thing with him all day now.
I'm not doing very well this week, am I?
Anyway, it was fascinating to hear a Bermudan local talk about the Bermuda Triangle and how planes avoid it. And I just found it really fascinating. Neil Rankin, the celebrity chef, was talking about how people are stressing over Christmas dinner and cooking Christmas dinner. Now this, and forgive me if I'm just being flippant here, I don't get what the big deal is, because it's just Sunday lunch with a turkey.
And
that's
sprouts.
All it is.
And sprouts. And when do you put the sprouts in? Before, after? It's very difficult. Chloe, do you stress over Christmas dinner?
I love Christmas dinner. Well,
yeah, do you stress over the cooking of it?
I must say I have it a little easy, actually, because living at home with mum and dad, usually dad or mum cooks the dinner. I do help out, but it's less stress. So, but I just love it. I love being around everybody at Christmas. It makes me super happy. So
I will tell you my ideal way, because I usually end up cooking the Christmas turkey. Okay?
Yeah. Yep.
Turkey goes in the oven. Leave it while you go and watch a film of about 2 hours. Go to the kitchen, turn the turkey over, watch another two-hour movie. Go back to the kitchen, turn it over for half an hour just to graze up the top. It's done.
Well, there we
That's
are.
All it is.
And Tessa, no doubt in the Snart household, Annie Snart sort of works so well. It's like a military operation. By the way, happy birthday to your mother, Annie. She had so many people wishing happy birthday. She didn't even have time to do anything other than a global thank you on Facebook. That's perfectly okay. Anyway, so it goes. Otherwise, are you helping out with the cooking, Tessa, or is it just a case of no? I leave that to Lois and my mum.
No, we all chip in and help, but it is a lot like a military operation. You've got it down to a T, Alex. I think it depends on, obviously this year is very different, but it depends on how many family members come over for Christmas. So it can be quite stressful getting the bedroom sorted, you know, the bedding, all of that. It's not just the food that comes with it.
You don't have a Christmas dinner in the bedroom though, presumably, Tessa. I mean, I know you're somewhat wacky, but that's taking things to extreme, surely, isn't it?
Snap Towers must be palatial.
I think it just depends on what, you know, what your Christmas experience is like. I mean, for us, I know my mum and my nan, they would always get on with the veg the night before. The turkey or the cockerel would go in the oven. They do everything to the tea and everything's from scratch. They very much like to do the cooking.
The turkey or the cockerel, but not the goose, eh?
No, we have cockerel, actually. We always have cockerel for Christmas.
Well, use my method with the Christmas bird this year. And usually, to be more specific, it's the first film is Transformers. The second one is the second Transformers movie. My wife wouldn't believe me until she was actually home from work one Christmas Eve, saw me do it, and she still shook her head and said, I don't believe you. Anyway, we went on then to Jordan Cox, the Coupon Kid. Okay, that's kind of not a very nice nickname. Don't know that I'd like to go through.
He managed to get a £600 holiday for 20p or thereabouts. What's not to love? He's the Coupon Kid.
Well, Coupon King maybe, but Coupon Kid, I mean, what's he going to do when he's in his 80s? I keep thinking that couponing is mainly an American thing, and I forget that British people do it as well. I mean, you know, American people will haggle in stores, but I wouldn't dream of haggling in a store. If I see the price and I'm happy with the price, then that's what I pay. If yeah. I don't like the price, then I go somewhere else. I mean, how do you guys feel about this? Do you haggle? Chloe?
I don't know. I think it's lovely if you can get a bit off, great. But I've never really thought about coupons as such. I just sort of, if like yourself, if I like it, I'll buy it. If maybe it's a bit too expensive, I might wait a bit to see if the, you know, the sales climbs down. But
or how much it is on Amazon.
Amazon, yeah.
What about you, Tessa?
No, I can't deal with it. I'm exactly the same. I have to just go in. If I like the price, I'll get the item. I can't be doing with it. And
you're missing out on millions of potential pounds worth of savings there.
Are you a couponer then, Alex?
I've used one every so often, yes. Occasionally, one has been known to. It's quite useful.
I feel a bit embarrassed doing it, you know.
I do like, though. I like my club card points. I like my Boots points.
Oh, that's different.
I like collecting points.
Yeah, yeah. I do it with Costa. That's different.
You're not going to get Chloe out of Tesco. I mean, she's locked into that place, even though other supermarkets are available. It's quite sad. Really,
I'm obsessed with Tesco, honestly.
I think haggling and all that, it just takes time, doesn't it? I mean, just save time and go with a price. I can't, you know, when you go abroad.
You know they're going to say no anyway. It's like you go into, I don't know.
I shy away.
Perry's or somewhere and say, you know, I'll give you £300 for that seat. No, you won't. Get lost. Other people have heard the rejection.
Move on, well, Robin. Move on. The British people have been known for the fact that they're exploited on a regular basis, so why should we actually sort of lose that particular tradition?
This is true. Anyway, Emily Spavin, securing jobs via LinkedIn. This is a new thing. Since I've lost, didn't lose my job, I walked out of it to retire. But since I'm out of the job market, I mean, with the current crisis, people seem to be having more interviews on Zoom and things like that. I mean, how do you get the proper, I suppose, feel of a person's personality and what they can bring your business on a Zoom call? I mean, aren't you just too busy judging what they've got in the background and stuff like that? Nice Christmas lights, Tessa.
You're so funny. Oh, God. I can't stop laughing now.
It's exactly what Maria says on a regular basis when she's watching Transformers.
It's the new wave, isn't it? It's the same with anything. Everything's virtual at the moment, and we've just got to try to. But I know what you're saying. It's not the same as actually getting that vibe from the person or being in that atmosphere, and you haven't got that. It's taken away. So I guess if you're the interviewer, that's actually more difficult because you've got to probe them more with the right questions to learn about them more. But I don't know. I guess we adapt as best we can. But I know exactly what you're saying.
Emily still hasn't forgiven me for not actually updating my image and not even putting an image up there, basically. I keep my LinkedIn profile very minimal.
Yeah,
I've noticed this. And also, you said that you give people, like, feedback on and their work and stuff like that. You know, Alex, I looked at my LinkedIn the other day and there's nothing from you.
No, exactly. Not a diddly squat. You haven't asked me. I'll only give
reviews. I
shouldn't really ask.
I
follow you on LinkedIn, either one of you.
I wouldn't know, Tessa.
I don't know.
Yeah, well, there we are. Anyway.
You can follow me if you like.
I will. I will.
I'm irrelevant, but, you know.
No, you're not.
You'll never know where I'm going.
We've got to be connected. That's what LinkedIn is for.
All right. Oh, we shall be connected like the kids.
Like no, Robin, I told you at the start, it's pistol fingers. You know, the other one is just so last year. You know,
if you I don't know. I'm down with the kids, and now I just want to.
Yeah.
Sorry, OCD me. I've got to do this again. Okay. you want to know?
I
thought
that was rock on.
That's like Kiss, isn't it? But you've got to stick your tongue out as well, like Gene Simmons, Devil Horns.
Yeah.
No. You've got to do it properly, and for the benefit of our radio.
I feel like that tongue looks like
a. I can't keep that.
What you've got to do is.
For the benefit of the listener, Robin hasn't taken a leave of his senses. He's simply actually endeavouring to actually show he's got his rock cool credentials there with tongues and indeed fingers. Carry on, Robin.
Contributor of the week. Without a doubt, it is the fast becoming legendary Yasmin de Graaf. I mean, not only did I enjoy listening to her talk about Bermuda, but she has such a laid-back, easygoing style. I'm just wowed every time she talks. So
she's really cool, isn't she? I thought that.
Absolutely, the epitome of cool.
She is.
She is probably about a quarter of my age or a third of my age, but I aspire to be like her one day.
Yeah, well, that's only the same difference between Des O'Connor and his fourth wife, so all's well with the world. It's all good. Happy time, Des, wherever
you are. I'm not dead yet.
No, exactly. So, Tessa, would you like to throw those last two questions at Chloe and Robin, please?
Yes. Have you both had a reasonably interesting Zoomer this week?
Amazing. Loved it. Thank you for having me. I'd love to come back soon.
Robin?
Oh, it's absolutely been a delight because I've derailed it again.
It's brilliant.
It's fair to say, Robin, that there's no way Tessa will have actually accessed any of the videos or stuff we've been seeing because she'd be far too busy. So asking her, has she seen Star Trek Deep Space Nine or indeed Lost Horizon?
Let me ask you, which one would you recommend I start with?
Lost Horizon.
Yeah.
Lost Horizon.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
It's a classic. You'll enjoy it. It was actually made before any of us were born. So there we are. Good news then. To Chloe Rose, to Tessa Snart, to Robin Pierce, and to Yasmin de Graaf. She's not with us, but she's with us in spirit. That's the important thing. A bit like one of Tessa's tunes. Happy trails. Congratulations on Contributor of the Week. Actually, Tessa and Chloe, they both had that reward as well. I mean, haven't they, Robin, I believe?
They have indeed,
Has it changed your lives, ladies? I mean, has receiving Robin's most valuable contributor on a podcast changed your life, or did you not even realise that you'd received it, Chloe?
I don't know if I realise, but I just think it's amazing. I think that's amazing.
It's a little bit Robin like in the 60s, Marvel Comics, Stan Lee would send letter contributors a no prize, and it was an empty envelope that meant absolutely nothing. And this is the Siren Radio equivalent of a Stan Lee no prize. You all want it, but you get nothing.
It's amazing, though. I mean, I never win anything, so it's great. We should actually, once lockdown's over, have an awards show for the Midweek Drive team. We should do this.
Oh, yeah, let's do that.
And because Alex has got all these downloads now, so we need a celebration, so...
Well, there we are. It's all about the pies. Are you the person who ate all the pies? Surely not. We have got the welcome return of an awesome individual back on the programme today, this time in vision. It's actor extraordinaire and Whisper It Manchester United supporter, but he's a general all-round wonderful soul. It's Will Mellor. How are you, Will?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Very good indeed. And I'm actually delighted to be able to introduce you to our ace writer from Wales, Robin Pierce. Robin, of course, who also awarded you for your October contribution, which was all about pubs, the winner of the Most Valuable Podcast Contributor Award for October, purely on the basis of your line, "There's a man in our pub called Horse. I've never asked him why." It was a genius quote, which sets the bar, Will. Sets the bar for that particular line of things. So,
it's very true. It's really true, mate, as well. It's very true. I've still never asked him. I daren't, because I don't know what the answer's going to be.
It's been too long now, hasn't it?
Well, yeah. The clear thing, Will, is would he actually eat pie? Because that's what we're talking about today, the North-South pie divide. And as well as being an ace actor, of course, you're also down as a pie enthusiast. So in these lockdown times, which being in the North, obviously, it's tier three all over, what are your thoughts on pies? Are you a chicken and mushroom person? Are you a steak pie person? Where do you sit on the whole pie issue?
I've changed my view over the years because I used to only eat meat and potato pies, or potato and meat is what Holland's call them, but meat and potato pies. My mum worked in a chip shop growing up, so she was a cook in a chip shop. So literally, I would buy pie, chips and peas at least three times a week. And especially when my mum was working when I was at school and it was lunchtime, because we could walk to the local chip shop from school and I'd take a few of my friends and we'd go in. And she'd sit us down, we'd all have, it was called the special, which was meat, potato pie, chips, peas and gravy. and we'd all have it for free because my mum worked there. So it was a genius, and I was very popular at lunchtime, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I mean, chicken and mushroom being the favourite in London was a surprise, certainly to our regular culinary correspondent, William Sitwell. He thought, actually, it wasn't going to go down that well in London, but chicken and mushroom obviously is there. Steak in the northeast. Robin Pearce in Wales, do you have a favourite pie?
Personally, yes, I would go for a steak pie, definitely.
Steak pie in Wales for the whole system. Now, as you rightly said,
no frills.
This is a. I thought you would have gone for a leek pie, but maybe not.
For goodness' sake.
a new survey from Holland's Pies, of course. Pie preferences differ greatly from the north to the south. Do you think this is also tying in with the COVID lockdown scenario, Will? I mean, can we actually sort of say, well, if you like this kind of pie, you're obviously going to be in tier three?
I don't know about that. Let's not get into the tier situation, Jesus. I don't know what's going on at the moment. I'm not sure. I think the one thing that Hollands are doing here, which is really good, is they've introduced a family pie, which is really good for lockdown, obviously, because there's a lot of people at home with the kids, people working from home, and some people might not have the time to cook a full family meal, or might not have the means to do so, or might not be a Gordon Ramsay in the kitchen. And the good thing about this family pie is you can just stick it in the oven, and then you've got a full family meal. You can sit around the table, talk about your day, and it's always good, especially with what's going on at the moment, to have family meals and sit around the table with your kids if you can. And I think this is a great idea. And they're available in the Northwest now in supermarkets, but you can actually get them nationally from January. And I think it's a brilliant idea.
I mean, Robin, will there be a Pierce Pie Day where effectively you percolate the pies in Pierce land?
Well, first of all, I'm really intrigued by the idea of a family pie. Wasn't that you get, you know, your whole meal in one kind of thing? Wasn't that the original concept of the pie to begin with?
I think it was.
Yeah, I think it was, wasn't it? So, so we're just going back to basics then.
Exactly. Back to the future. We'll be talking about pasties next.
Family Pie Day. Well, when Maria's in a baking mood and, you know, we've got some either leftover meat or something like that, it goes into a pie. Those are family pies. They are deep, they are filling, they are pretty good.
Yeah.
Pie day night dinner, clearly. And of course, as we have a connection between City and United here, I mean, I could break into Blue Moon, but I won't, thank the Lord. But in terms of obviously United, do you do that? Who ate all the pies? Who ate all the pies? You, et cetera, et cetera. You ate all the pies.
All them days on the terraces where you were a kid and you were allowed to swear. I think that was the thing. That's another thing about pies as well. I remember it takes me back to when I was younger. I used to go in the terraces and stand at the Stretford End. And then half time, every match I'd have a meat potato pie and a cup of Bovril. And I've never had that combination anywhere else or ever again. No. But it's strange how it brings back memories. And you'd either burn your mouth on the pie or definitely scald your chin on the Bovril. But they were great memories.
I mean, probably Broadchurch when you were Steve Connolly there, when you were in Barking, when you were in White Van Man, you just need that pie for that added extra sort of routine. Maybe the next contract will put in a pie. You know, that's needed from that.
Do you know what's funny? In 2 pints of lager and a packet of crisps, we actually had a full scene where Gaz and Johnny sat down at the table in the pub and just discussed who invented the pie and how much of a genius he was. And it is true. It developed conversation between us and we had such a laugh filming it. And it's true. He's like, who invented this? It's a great idea. And like he was saying just then, it goes back to having a meal all in one. So and it's just a great idea. I mean, the key thing for me is lots of gravy, steak pie with lots of gravy, chips and peas. Especially in the winter, it's like a hug from a plate. I love it.
Now, do you mean lots of gravy on the pie or in the filling? Because now you're in danger of destroying the structural integrity of the pie, and it'll end up on your lap before it gets in your mouth.
I understand what you mean, but. The key for me is I'm an ovener, I love my gravy, but if you haven't got the means to make a gravy, the pie has got to have a lot of gravy in it, is what I'm saying, because then you can dip your chips in it. And also, I might be ruining it for some people, but I love a bit of brown sauce, so I have to have brown sauce somewhere on my plate with the pie, chips and peas. It has to be done.
You know, I live in North Wales, and I also love my gravy. I've got to admit, I don't know if this is a northern thing or what, but one of the finest delicacies, and this is not pie related, one of the finest delicacies ever invented is a good plate of chips and gravy. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. I tell you what, I struggle. You can't find that down south. I'll tell you, you struggle. People look at you like you've got a finger missing when you say, have you got any gravy? What? Sorry, what?
It's like asking for scraps in a chip shop. It's like various other bits and pieces. You might as well say, my name is Sweeney Todd. It's just not happening, you know? It's
exactly.
Step away from that.
Is it a generational thing or a north-south thing? I'm not quite sure now.
I honestly don't know. But what I have found a chip, honestly, when you find a chippy down here, well, I'm not in London, I'm in Buckinghamshire, so I've got a village, so it's a bit different. I'm not in London because it's not for me. But I found a chippy that does gravy. Actually, last night, I got my son chips, peas and gravy, and he loved it. And you get a pot of gravy on the side. Oh, belting. Yeah. But there's only one in my local area that does it.
I even had our local Chinese takeaway specially trained that I wanted gravy with my chips.
Exactly. See?
Let's move on, gentlemen. We need to. Time is ever pressing. Would you like to share with us, Will, where people can go to find out further details about this pie survey and indeed Holland's Pies and so on?
Yeah, you just go to www.hollandpies.co.uk. You can find out all about this new family pie. You can get it frozen or chilled. And like I said, it's available in the Northwest now in selected supermarkets, but it will be available nationally from January. The family pie is coming.
Something to look forward to in 2021. Presumably Wigan Athletic would get a mention as well, because I believe that they sort of used to hold the sort of award as being best pies. I can't understand why, but what the hey, that's a different line. We'll still obviously need to sort out, and maybe that could be an interesting line to speak to Horse in terms of, Horse, what's your favourite pie? And then you could actually have a sub question, which is, and why are you called Horse by any chance?
I'm a bit scared of what's going to happen or what is going to flop out if I do.
Is Horse bigger than you are? I mean, is he a big guy?
Steady, Robin, steady.
Steady. I've never followed into the toilet.
You never asked somebody who's way bigger than you why they got the nickname.
Yeah. We'll hold it there and simply say...
I think he likes eating hay. That's what I put it down to.
Good point. Allowing for the fact that it's a matter of weeks before City play United in the derby, we have those two final questions to put to you in any case. Will Mellor, have you had a reasonably interesting Zuma with us today? Has it been good for you?
Oh, it's been great, mate. It's been great. I just wanted to ask how your neck was looking up at Man United. Have you got a bit of a stiff neck? Is it tough? Tilling your head back.
It's the banter that goes on that sort of system. We'll just have to see how things develop. That's the important thing. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is now obviously the hero of the hour. Who'd have thought that then? But what the heck?
I won't go that far. But at least you've got another billion to spend next year if you need it.
So the next critical question is, Will Mellor, will you return to the Midweek Drive?
I'm always here, mate. You just get in touch with me, or I'll get in touch with you, and we'll have another chat. I'll talk to you at the end of the season, see how we go, see who's crying.